Good morning.
We are here this morning to look at chapter 19 of the Tao Te Ching. Last time we were together, we looked at chapter 18. And chapter 18 really described the degradation that occurs in culture when the leaders are not in harmony with the Tao. And what we did was we looked at that as related to our personal orbit. You could call it our personal culture, our culture with our family, with our co-workers, with our friends, even with our chores, our duties. You know, how do I feel when I go about doing the dishes, when I go about mowing the lawn, whatever it is that I do? Am I in harmony with what needs to be done? Or do I have a judging attitude regarding what needs to be done? Now, chapter 19 is the reversal of that. Chapter 18 was, this is how things go downhill, briefly, of course, very short chapter. But this is how things go downhill when we're not in harmony with the Tao. And now chapter 19 is going to go, as we bring ourselves back into harmony, this is how things go back uphill. When we are in harmony with the Tao, we are in harmony with all things, because all things are the Tao. The Tao is the essence or the intrinsic nature of all things. When we are not in harmony with the Tao, again, what we're really working for subconsciously is our own self-will. We are separating ourselves out of the whole, and we are trying to make things work out for me. And then we're really in conflict with many things. This is what causes that degradation that we saw in chapter 18. With that said, why don't we go ahead and just read chapter 19? I called chapter 19, Empower a Strong Culture. Give up leading like you are the holy and wise one, and the people will benefit 100-fold. Give up controlling through rules and laws, and the people will serve from the heart. Forget about being the best and having more, and there won't be any thieves. Renounce those ways. They won't build a strong culture. People need a culture they can belong to. Focus on the essence. Embrace simplicity. Let go of self-centeredness. Release desires. So that's chapter 19. Now, of course, chapter 19, as we know, was originally written with the focused audience of officers and officials who worked for the emperor of the Zhou dynasty. But this wisdom has lived long beyond the Zhou dynasty, because it really pertains to all of us. And so that's what we want to look at. How does this pertain to me and my personal life, my personal orbit, whether I seem to be a leader or not? If you do happen to lead an organization or lead a department or lead a family, then you can also look at this as how this pertains to you as a leader. But let's look at this first line. The first line is very, very interesting. It says, give up leading like you are the holy and wise one. Or, you know, the direct word-for-word translation of the Chinese characters said, terminate, sage, abandon knowledge. You know, if you don't understand the Tao deeply, that's like, that sounds crazy. Terminate the sage, abandon knowledge? How is this helpful? Well, terminate the sage in this case doesn't mean to let go of your inner wisdom. It means let go of thinking you are wiser than others. Let go of thinking you are holier than thou. Let go of self-righteousness. Let go of being the one that you think knows everything, the smartest one around. Let go of thinking you're better than others. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this before. I think I did. You know, my dad used to say something, again, half jokingly, my dad used to say that, you know, if everybody would just listen to him, everything would be fine, right? half jokingly, again, because of course everybody's not going to listen to him. But also what he's demonstrating and saying that is that's what we all think, you know, at least subconsciously, if not consciously, we all think that I know whatever my way of being is clearly the best way of being. And if everybody else would just be like me, if everybody else would just follow the rules I have for myself or the rules I have for them, everything would be fine. This is leading like you are the holy and the wise one, right? That's what this is. And this says, give up leading like you are the holy and wise one, and the people will benefit 100-fold. The reason the people will benefit 100-fold is because everyone is the Tao. That's the essence. Everyone has access to the Tao, the wisdom and intelligence of the Tao. Everyone is equal. And the way that the culture benefits is by bringing everyone into harmony with that part of themselves. And we don't bring people into harmony with that part of themselves by acting like I'm better, I know more, my opinions are right, yours are wrong, right? That doesn't work. So we have to give up that. We want to become the humble servants of the Tao ourselves. And through the demonstration of being the humble servant of the Tao, we help other people to find that within themselves. So give up leading like you are the holy and wise one, and the people will benefit 100-fold. That's the first step to coming into harmony with the Tao. Letting go of my, I know. Letting go of my, I'm always right. Letting go of my self-righteousness, right? Step number one. Give up controlling through rules and laws, and the people will serve from the heart. The key word in that sentence to me is give up controlling. You know, give up trying to control other people. Give up even trying to control events. Let things unfold naturally. Again, everything works best when everything, including everyone, is in harmony with the Tao. That harmony is what's best for everything. But how can people find that harmony if we're telling them what to do all the time and we're making all these rules and laws and we're controlling and we want everybody to follow our self-will? It just doesn't work. So we need to give people some space to learn their own lessons. We need to give people some space to have their own ideas. We need to give people some space so that they feel that sense of freedom, right? And if we give people some space, then they start coming from within themselves and they start doing things not because they have to get a paycheck, or not because they have to keep you happy, right? But because this is what they are intrinsically feeling to do. This is coming from within them. This is their inner motivation. So give up leading like you are the holy and wise one, and people will benefit 100-fold. Give up controlling through rules and laws, and the people will serve from the heart. You know, I got to give my dad credit again. Another thing that I remember him telling me, you know, my dad was a JC Penney manager, so he was a leader. And I remember one thing my dad told me when I was a young person, probably a teenager, is he was talking about, you know, when I grow up and become a leader, he wanted me to remember this. He said that other people have good ideas too. He said, it might not be the way that you would do things, but if you really want happy employees, you need to let them implement their ideas, right? That's what this is saying. Other people have good ideas too. They might not be the way I would have done it, but that doesn't mean it's a bad idea, right? Let them implement their ideas. So give up leading like you are the holy and wise one, and the people will benefit 100-fold. Give up controlling through rules and laws, and the people will serve from the heart. Forget about being the best and having more, right? Having more, that accumulation of whatever we accumulate. Forget about that, and there won't be any thieves. Renounce those ways. They won't build a strong culture. And in fact, this last line, they won't build a strong culture. The Chinese word for word says, therefore, do culture, no sufficient attain. And the way some people translated that is, these ways are not enough to build a strong culture, right? Like these are the first steps, but you can't stop there. That's not enough. So let's go on to look at what Lao Tzu recommends after saying these things are not enough. People need a culture they can belong to. And belong to here, again, this kind of means an equal share, right? You may be the official leader, but people need to feel equally a part of it in order to have a strong culture, right? They can't feel like they are in any way less than you. So people need a culture they can belong to. Now, here are the other recommendations that Lao Tzu makes. Focus on the essence. Embrace simplicity. Let go of self-centeredness. Release desires. So these last four are really important if what we want is to come back into harmony with the Tao. Whether we see ourselves as a leader or not, these four are really important. So let's look at this first one. Focus on the essence. Essence is intrinsic nature. We're talking about learning to focus on the intrinsic nature of all things. And the reason this is important is if we take the time to focus on the intrinsic nature or the essence becomes more visible to us, not with our eyes. Again, I don't know that we have a word for this. You could say with your spiritual vision. That might be a good word, with your spiritual vision. For example, when you look out at a tree, you don't see a tree the way you used to. In fact, the way many of us see trees is we walk by them all the time and don't even see them, right? They're just a part of the scenery, an ordinary part of the scenery. They're nothing to us, right? They're not a part of our personal orbit. unless it's a tree I planted and I care for in my yard. It has to do with me in some way. But when you awaken this spiritual vision that's able to see essence, and you look out and you see a tree, what you really see is the same life that you are. The same life that you are, not a different life. Not a less intelligent life by any means, because the mind ceases to be what we think of as intelligence. In fact, thoughts we start to see as ignorance. The intelligence is what's running the cells in my body. digesting my food, growing my hair. That's the real intelligence. And that same intelligence is right there in that tree. In fact, let me share with you something that a friend of mine wrote. I have a friend that's going through Awakening Together's Minister Preparation Program. And she's right now taking the Nisargadatta Maharaj course that's a part of that program. And in answering one of the questions, she wrote something that fit very well with what essence is. And I asked her if I could share it in this video. She said yes. So let me share the screen. And let's look at what my friend wrote. She says, it, referring to her homework assignment, it is a wonderful reminder that my entire brain and body can be run without me, right? This I know, this holy and wise one, right? It's a wonderful reminder that my entire brain and body can be run without me knowing anything about it. I don't control my liver or my spleen or the cells in the body, and they seem to be doing a spectacular job of doing very complex work. I have nothing to do with it. It is good to contemplate that the clot of ideas and thoughts and images that constitute what I think of as me can be run without my conscious input. But only if I give control back to the power or the Tao and stop focusing on the clot of nonsense that contributes to fear, desire, wants, and false knowledge, or what I called ignorance, those thoughts, right? The rest of nature seems to run on some invisible power. So why not this body, which is a microcosm of the macrocosm? Left alone, nature does what nature does. Interfered with by man, chaos and death of species ensues. We simply don't know enough to manage the earth, but we think we do, right? Give up leading like you are the holy and wise one. What if these bodies are the same? What if they are just a vehicle for experiencing this world and not the all-encompassing everything that we have made them into? What if they run smoothly and effortlessly when they are run by spirit, and not by the thoughts, desires, fears in the mind? I suspect this last thought is the truth. There are saints who came to realization simply by observing nature and realizing the same unknown power that coordinates the billions of processes in nature was or is the same power that coordinates what goes on in these bodies. When we interfere with the flow, and that interference, as we've learned, is self-will, when we interfere with the flow of the power through these bodies, chaos and illness ensue. More and more, I can see that everything that is happening is appearing and disappearing in consciousness. And it is becoming easier and easier to dismiss many things. It is true. Nothing lasts. I can't deny it because I can see the changes. Life, true life, and this is the essence, right? Life, true life, comes from focusing on the power, not on the thoughts, fears, etc. This is becoming more and more apparent, and I am amazed at the ways ego comes to trip me up. But I also know that the universe wants me as its own, and that as I allow it in me and through me, more and more of ego will disappear. Nisargadatta talks of earnestness. All it takes is wanting the power more than anything else. Grace does the rest. Thank you, Norma. Isn't that brilliant? And she wasn't even studying the Tao, right? She was studying Nisargadatta Maharaj. So focus on the essence, which is what she was calling the power. Focus on the power. Learn to spend time with it. And tell you what, I will come back and talk about how to do that, because that will be our homework assignment. But this is really important to coming into harmony with the Tao, or the power, as Norma wrote. Next, embrace simplicity. What does that mean? Does that mean I need to get rid of my stuff? I don't know what that means for you. What you need to do in your own life is look for how you are making it more complex than it needs to be. Certainly paying attention to your mind, listening to all of those thoughts, right? That's a complexity. Learning to not pay attention to the thoughts so much, maybe paying attention to the essence more, is one form of simplicity, maybe the most important form of simplicity. But you will find there are other things that you can do in your everyday life that's going to feel not only simpler, but cleaner. You could call it more pure, more freedom. And I can't tell you what those things are. I can tell you how I simplified my life, but then you might start thinking that you need to do the same things, and it might not be the same thing. So I'll let you see what embrace simplicity means for you. Just know that you're getting rid of the anything that feels burdensome, and embracing the sense of freedom, right? Feel for that. And a lot of it might just be the thoughts that you're thinking while you're doing what you're doing. Let go of self-centeredness. This is our self-will, right? We know that the self-will is the interference. So we need to learn to let go of self-will. And we've talked about this before. You can find your self-will when you're in conflict. You know, when I first started letting go of my self-will, it was in, again, very simple things. Like I'd have a guest at my house and I would, you know, the guest would say, oh, let me do the dishes. But then I would notice the guest did the dishes differently than me. You know, for example, my way of doing the dishes might be to fill the sink with soapy water, wash each dish, rinse each dish, put it in the thing. And they were putting soap in each dish without any water in the sink, soap in each dish, washing it, rinsing it, and then putting it over. And I was going crazy with all the soap they were wasting, all the water that was running, right? But in the end, the dishes were clean. This is obviously the way they learned to do dishes. They thought it was fine. Why did I need it my way? I have very simple things like that were creating a conflict in me. And I learned to just let people, like my dad said, let people follow their own ideas, right? When we let people follow their own ideas, do things their way, we're letting go of our way. I remember one friend that had trouble, you know, an inner conflict when people would set the table. She had learned to put the knife and the fork and the spoon in a certain way next to the plates, which was the right way. And when somebody would set the table differently, she would have to go over and fix it. You know, I said to her, you know, just, you know, as long as everybody can reach the knife, the fork, and the spoon, it's fine. You know, don't, you know, let people do it their way, right? So sometimes we have great difficulty with things that are completely meaningless just because we want our way. So you can start looking for those simple things first, right? And you'll start learning to let go of self-will, and you'll start learning that the more you let go of self-will, the more peace you actually experience. Isn't that amazing? We think we need everything to come into harmony with my way in order to experience peace, when the opposite is true. We experience peace by letting go of my way and letting things be as they are. The next thing, release desires. Desires are a very funny thing to talk about, because our mind tells us that if I get everything I want, I will finally be happy. It is not true. The way to be happy is to be happy with what is here and now. If something is to come our way, it will, right? But when we sit around wanting what we don't have or wanting things to be different than they are, that actually creates upset of some type. Frustration, sense of lack, sense of victimhood, sense that I'm not good enough, fear, guilt. I mean, it can go on and on. But all of these negative energies come from wanting things to be different than they are. If we learn to release desires, be happy with what is, things will still come our way. I promise you they will. Whatever is to be yours will come your way. But we are just happy with what is. Oh, we are just happy with what is. See, we're already at peace. So these last steps are how we really come into harmony with the Tao. Focus on the essence. Embrace simplicity. Let go of self-centeredness. Release desires. Those are the keys right there. The keys to harmony, the keys to peace, the keys to happiness, the keys to love. This is how we come into harmony with everything, and our personal orbit, our personal experience in this life becomes very, very joyous, right? So why don't we look at someone else's translation of this chapter first, then we'll come back to the assignment, focus on essence. So I will share my screen. So this translation of chapter 19 is by Sanderson Beck from 1996. Abandon religion and discard cleverness. Now, religion here, of course, is the outer loyalty to someone else's teaching of what is right and what is wrong. You know, whether that be even outer Taoism is not accurate. Right? We're talking about an inner journey, or whether that be outer Christianity or outer Hinduism, all of these outer religions have fallen away from the truth. So this is how Sanderson Beck interpreted abandon sage, right? I remember I interpreted it as give up leading like you are the holy and wise one. But let's go back to Sanderson's translation. Abandon religion and discard cleverness, and people will benefit 100-fold. Abandon humanity. The Chinese word there, or the English translation, was terminate humane. He said, abandon humanity and discard morality. It was terminate humane, abandon justice. I said, give up controlling through rules and laws, because rules and laws are meant to keep us humane with one another, right? Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. Right? They're meant to keep us humane. So I interpreted that as abandon those rules and laws, right? That humane and that justice. But Sanderson Beck, abandon humanity and discard morality, and people will rediscover love and duty, or we could say love for their duty, for whatever comes their way. Abandon skill and discard profit. Now, the Chinese word for word was terminate clever, abandon profit. So I said, forget about being the best and having more. Sanderson says, abandon skill, meaning I suppose be the most skillful. Abandon skill and discard profit, and there will be no thieves or robbers. These three things relate to externals and are inadequate, right? The way I had written that was, renounce those ways, they won't build a strong culture, right? It does not build a strong culture if you lead like you're the holy and wise one, for example, if you control through rules and laws. But I mentioned that another way to translate that line was, these things are not enough. And this is the way Sanderson Beck is doing it. These three things relate to externals, and they are inadequate. They're not enough. Okay, so now here comes the keys. People need what they can depend on. Reveal simplicity. Embrace the natural. Control selfishness. Reduce desires. Again, while you're looking at Sanderson's translation, I'll read that last paragraph of my translation. People need a culture they can belong to. Focus on the essence. That's similar to his embrace the natural. Embrace simplicity. Similar to reveal simplicity. And at the same time, focus on the essence does reveal the simplicity, right? The intrinsic nature of all things. Embracing simplicity is embracing the natural, that sense of freedom that you get. So even though the words seem different, the truth is the beyond the wordsness is the same. Is that a good word, wordsness? Beyond the wordsness is the same. Again, focus on the essence, reveal the simplicity. Embrace simplicity by embracing the natural, right? Then I said, let go of self-centeredness. He says, control selfishness. I said, release desires. He says, reduce desires. All right, so our assignment, which is going to be focus on the essence, or as Sanderson Beck said it, we are going to reveal the simplicity in all things, right? And embrace the natural. So let me tell you how I was taught from the inner wisdom to focus on the essence. There was a day that I was confused about what the essence is. I didn't yet know. I hadn't yet discovered it. And the guidance that I was given at that time was to take a blanket, go outside, lay in the grass, pick one blade of grass, and focus on that blade of grass until I understood. And I don't remember if I laid out there for an hour, for 2 hours, the whole afternoon. But what I do remember is that suddenly I began to see the beingness, the life intelligence that was the blade of grass and me. That common denominator between human and grass, that's the Tao. I mean, I saw it. And then I remember it was, you know, that was a brief moment. I didn't like awaken at that point. But I understood. I mean, I really understood, not an intellectual level. I didn't lay there thinking about it. It was the knowing of it that I came into touch with. And there was some time later, I remember I was walking the dog and I happened to glance down and there was a bug on the ground. But what really stood out to me about that moment was before my mind could define bug, I saw and experienced intrinsic nature. I felt that sameness between the bug and me. And then the mind says bug. Very quickly. But I already was in touch with what we are. We, meaning the bug and I and you and everything. And as I began to really contemplate this more and more, meaning, for example, looking at a tree and wait and just being open for that feeling of our sameness to occur. As I did this more and more, what began to happen was the sameness that we are came forward and the definitions went backward in my perception. So that even though I can still say tree, grass, I can even say weed, flower, you know, I still know all those definitions. But my real experience now is that sameness of the intrinsic nature of the essence. And I can just sit and be and know that sameness in me with eyes open or eyes closed and get great joy just from being in touch with that. So our assignment is to focus on the essence. And how you do this will be up to you. A popular way is similar to the way I was first guided to do. Remember, I was guided to go lay in the grass and pay attention to one blade of grass until I understood. Now, you should know that laying in the grass is something I've always loved to do. To this day, I go out and lay in the grass, take breaks laying in the grass. So my inner wisdom was using my natural way of being to teach me. So if it's not natural for you to go lay in the grass, that may be too uncomfortable for you. And as a result, I may not work. Peace Pilgrim, if you know Peace Pilgrim, she became in touch with it by taking a walk in the woods. She was walking and contemplating the question, what is God? When she realized this intrinsic nature, she got her answer. She said she learned that you can get answers from within that day. You could sit on your front porch. You could sit inside the comfort of your home and look out a window. You could even look at a house plant in your home. You can look at a flower, a tree, maybe even a cat, right? Find something that is alive, although this is also true for things that are not alive. It's certainly much easier with something that is alive. So find something that is alive, that is not human, you know, so in some way, outwardly, it looks very different, like a blade of grass and a person look very different. A tree and a person look very different. A cat even and a person look very different. Find something that you can be with. And be with it with the intention of realizing, knowing, feeling the intrinsic sameness between you. And just see if you can be with it until you know that, right? This is very reminiscent of chapters 1 and chapters 2. Of the Tao Te Ching. You know, you could also go back and read chapter 1 and chapter 2 if you want to. Remember, chapter 1 said, the nameless is the origin of the universe. That's the intrinsic nature. The named is the source of myriad things. I'm a person, that's a tree, that's a flower, that's a weed, right? That's the naming itself is the source of myriad things. And we lose that essence when we do that. The nameless is the origin of the universe. The named is the source of myriad things. These two are the same emergence. The nameless and the named, they're the same. These two are the same emergence, but they are known by different names. Their sameness is called mystery. It is the mystery of mysteries. It is the door to multiple wonders. So that's the essence we want to get in touch with. And then chapter 2 goes further into, again, a degradation. How when we begin to name things as beautiful, we also experience ugly, and this can be harmful, right? It goes into the more we name, the more we define, the further we get from the essence. And again, we have that degradation. So now we're going from the degradation back into harmony by focusing on the essence. All right, I think that's plenty. Next time I see you, we will look at chapter 20. Bye.